You've been there, right? Staring at three different quotes for a roof repair or landscaping, and they look like they were written for three completely different buildings. It is, well, it's just frustrating.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So today we're doing an exploration into our source material, which is this specialized diagnostic guide for property managers. And our mission here is to uncover why your vendor selection process is probably costing you a lot more than just the final invoice.
Right. The goal is to spot the five structural signs that your bid workflow is broken, and then look at the immediate fixes to get your time and really your credibility back.
Exactly. So let's jump in. The fascinating thing from the source material is that most property managers, they know the process is a headache, but they don't see it as a process problem, do they?
No, they really don't. They see it as a people problem. They blame unresponsive vendors or demanding owners. But if you recognize even a few of these five signs we're going over, you actually have a structural issue. It's acting like a silent tax on your operations.
Yeah, that silent tax is huge. I mean, I feel like a private investigator sometimes, digging through old emails just to figure out if, say, quote A includes the trash removal, the Google could beat them.
Down in the fine print, exactly. The guide calls this the information
The
chase.
information chase, yeah. And that is really the first sign your workflow is leaking time.
Right, and the source points out that we usually blame the vendors for being vague, but the real aha moment is that it's a scope problem.
Because if your request doesn't explicitly demand specific quantities and materials, you are basically asking vendors to guess.
Exactly, and they all guess differently. So the fix here is to use reusable scope templates. By forcing a structured response, that chase for missing details just disappears because you set the rules of the game before it starts.
But even if you get that info, doesn't it all just fall apart if you aren't looking at the data the same way every time? Like on a busy Tuesday, you just glance at the bottom line, but on a slow Friday, you actually read the warranty.
Spot on. That brings us to sign number two, which is inconsistent comparisons. It's a major risk because you might miss a permit exclusion just because you didn't look for it that day. And if an owner questions you later, you literally have no repeatable system to point to.
So what is the pivot there?
A standard bid comparison matrix. You need a set grid for labor, materials, warranties, and you use it for every single project.
Wait, a standard matrix for every single project. Doesn't that just add more paperwork to an already packed afternoon?
It feels that way at first, but it actually saves you from bid leveling manually every time. That's just the fancy way of saying you're adjusting numbers so it's apples to apples.
Yeah.
With the grid ready, the analysis happens almost automatically.
Oh, I see. And that actually leads right into sign number three, which honestly hits a bit closer to home, the credibility gap. It's that,
The uh-oh moment.
yes, the uh-oh moment. When an asset manager asks why we didn't go with the low bidder, and you were caught totally off guard because the reason is just buried somewhere in your head and not on paper.
Right. And in property management, trust is your currency. If you can't immediately justify a recommendation with data, that trust erodes and your autonomy goes right with it. So the guide suggests creating a one-page summary during the process, not as a panicked afterthought.
That makes perfect sense. You aren't scrambling, you're just showing them the why behind the spend. But what about when things feel like Groundhog Day? Like the same recurring late bids or budget surprises, project after project.
That is sign number four. It happens because teams lack a formal feedback loop. A project ends and everyone just runs to the next fire. To break the cycle, you have to document three simple things after every project: what worked, what caused friction, and what to change next time. Without that, you pay that process tax over and over.
Speaking of that tax, let's look at sign number five, the invisible clock. If I asked you exactly how many hours your team spends on bid administration, could you give me a number?
Most people can't because the time is so fragmented, but industry estimates actually show it takes 8 to 15 hours per capital project.
8 to 15 hours. Where's that time even going? I'm not writing a novel, it's just a bid.
It's the fragmented minutes. 10 minutes searching for an email, 20 minutes doing spreadsheet math, 30 minutes chasing a signature. It adds up to nearly 2 full workdays of pure administration. The fix is to track the timeline of your next three cycles to see exactly where those hours vanish.
That is wild. So how do you stack up? The guide gives us a quick scoring system. 0 to 1 signs means you have strong fundamentals. 2 to 3 signs means you're losing real time and credibility. And if you see 4 or 5 of these, your process has become an operational liability.
The common thread across all of this is structure. When the process is defined, the problems shrink. It's moving away from memory and toward a system that builds trust with every single bid.
Exactly. So here's a final thought for everyone to mull over before your next RFP goes out. Think about the very last vendor you recommended. If you had to defend that choice to a total stranger using only your project file, would they see a clear, data-driven decision, or would they just see a leap of faith? Something to think about.